Hey guys, we are back again today, and I'm thrilled to introduce Miranda Barnett. But I want you to know that expressing our authentic selves, that's what we're going to talk about today. It's fundamental to our human experience. And when it comes to the voice, its resonance with our identity can be transformative. So I am thrilled to introduce Miranda Barnett today, who's sitting right next to me, a trailblazer in the world of voice training. With over 25 years in the performing arts, Miranda has expertly pivoted her career to create Metamorphosis Voice Training, a specialized service for the LGBTQIA+ community. She's on a mission to help individuals discover and embrace their authentic voice, fostering greater confidence and joy in their identity. And as a dedicated professional and proud member of the LGBTQIA+ community, Miranda's work is not just coaching, it's transforming lives and advocating for inclusivity. Trust me, you will want to hear what Miranda has to say. So here we go. Hey, Miranda, I got so carried away, I forgot we were going to start a show.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
I am glad you're here. And our pre-show conversation was amazing. And I want to pass on some of that information to our watchers, listeners today. So thank you very much.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about what you do. It's more than voice coaching. You are changing lives. So can you tell me just briefly, describe what Metamorphosis Voice Training is and what your services are that you offer?
Sure. And I have to say that I didn't go into this thinking that I was going to be changing lives, but I do realize that doing this work has that effect. And I'm seeing that in my clients, and it's such an incredible gift to be a part of that. So Metamorphosis Voice Training was founded a couple of years ago when I was put in touch with a woman in my community who was transitioning, and she needed help with her voice. Didn't know where to go, didn't know where to look. And it was kind of a friend of a friend situation. Introduced me to her and said, "You think you might be able to help? She needs help." And with my experience in voice coaching, teaching and training dialects and teaching other actors things, how to have a healthy, authentic voice, I thought, well, I think I can help. Mm-hmm. And so that was the beginning of this journey for me. But the way that it has evolved is I think about the voice as it is a holistic approach. When we talk about the voice, we cannot not talk about the human. And mm-hmm. So the way that I work and the way that I approach voice and cultivating that voice identity alignment is not only through looking at, you know, the instrument, this real estate right here, but it's also about looking at the body at large as an instrument, looking at how movement influences our voice and how those two things kind of want to go in the same direction and couple together. It's looking at how our thoughts and our feelings have an immediate influence and impact on the way that our voice sounds. And it's also looking at how can I get as specific as possible about who I am today. And I say today because, you know, we know that we evolve and we change and we grow.
Did you just say that our body, the way we move our body changes the way our voice works also?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Give me an example. I've never heard that. Give me an example.
So we can do something really simple. Let's just say, for example, that I'm doing something. I'm not even going to think about my emotional state. I'm just going to say I'm chopping something. I'm cooking maybe in the kitchen. And you might have heard my voice change right there. I'm chopping. Yeah. I'm chopping. I've got this more staccato. I've got a little more force behind it. There's more energy, but my voice is starting to reflect what my physical action is doing. I'm not thinking about it. It's just happening. Mm-hmm. Likewise, if I say, well, I'm going to be intentional about inviting some gestures that are more sweeping. I'm just going to kind of do this in the air.
Okay.
And you heard what happened with my voice when I did that.
Yes.
I sent no intention to my voice. It just followed along with how my body was moving.
I got you. Now, most people think about voice coaches, at least I do. When I think about voice coaches, I didn't think about the whole body movement thing that we were just talking about.
Yeah.
I don't usually think about, you know, identity affirming voice training. So I usually think about people wanting to sing like Christina Aguilera or Whitney Houston, right? So
right.
Identity affirming voice training. Talk about that for a minute. What's the
Yeah. So I specialize in feminization. I specialize in working with trans people on a trans feminine journey. That's just where I am right now. That may shift in the future, but that's kind of where my passion is and where I feel like my skill set is. So I'm meeting people who have, number one, gone through puberty in a specific way that brings changes to the vocal anatomy. The other thing is, which is as important and impactful as the physical changes, is the way that our culture tells us that we are supposed to be. They say, you are a man, you are supposed to sound like this. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to behave in these ways. And so, you know, people grow up, they want to add up to that expectation. And not only add up to, but sometimes there's an overcompensation that happens. So a person might actually have a lighter voice, but because the world is saying you need to sound more masculine, they've been overdoing it for years and years and years to create that kind of, you know, maybe even alpha presence.
Uh-huh.
And so when it comes to their realization that, and their deep understanding, that's not who I am. That is not in alignment with what I know about myself. And not only do I understand it, but it actually causes me harm to hear and perceive my voice being so, so different from who I know I am.
Gotcha.
So our job in this voice identity alignment and working with people who are on that journey is about bringing the voice back so that it communicates who they really are. It communicates their truth. It communicates their essence.
That's awesome. So you specifically call out identity for the individual versus gender for the
I do.
Yeah,
I do. You know, so most of my clients are trans women.
Okay.
But I do have a couple of non-binary femme clients. And so it's more about your identity, wherever that lands on the spectrum, whatever that is, there's still something very specific to that has nothing to do with whether you are masculine or feminine. It's about, let's find the voice that tells everyone who you are. Yeah. So that's where I am with that.
Does it, when you're trying to change someone's identity, does it make a difference if their voice is low or high or mid when you're trying to change that identity? Or is there something else to it also?
That's a good question. I'm not sure I entirely understand, but let's see if I can get to it. Most of the people that I work with, again, because I'm working with people on a trans feminine journey, have deeper voices that they perceive as wanting to be higher. So that tends to be the direction that I work, although I don't like to really talk about pitch, honestly. That is the most obvious place that a lot of people would start to draw attachment to a more masculine or a more feminine sound is about how high or low it is. But really there's a lot more going on. There's, you know, your resonance and your register balance and your articulation, your placement, and all of those things can exist separately from how high or low your voice is and actually give a more complete idea of your truth.
Yeah, you know, it is interesting, and I hear what you're saying there, because definitely, and I don't know what it is, maybe you can explain to us, you will hear a traditional or man talk with a higher voice and the woman talk with a lower voice, and you still recognize it as being more feminine or more masculine. What is it that makes that happen?
That's right. Well, like I said, there's a handful of things that could be at play. Typically, because, you know, nothing is an absolute, more feminine speakers, you would recognize a more feminine voice, even if it's a lower pitch. Like my voice, for example, I was assigned female at birth, identified non-binary, but my fundamental speaking range is on the lower side.
Right.
But my articulation is pretty crisp and precise. I have a more forward placement. So that it's almost like I imagine that my voice and my articulation is right here on my lips. It just tends to be very, very crisp and kind of clean. Whereas someone who has a perceived more masculine voice, the placement might be a little further back. It might be a little less precise and crisp in the articulation. And these are just, again, they're generalities, but those are a couple of things. Placement and articulation tend to be big, big ringers that give us some clue about, you know, what we perceive as, you know, gender alignment.
Yeah. I never really even thought about that. I'm trying to talk. I can't do it. So when someone comes to you and they usually say, I need help with my voice, what are the things that they are trying to get changed and how quickly can they do it? And they're wondering, is it something that is you have to think about all the time if you want to change your voice and you just have to work on it?
Yeah, I mean, there is a component of that. I mean, when we want to change behaviors, I listen to a lot of neuroscientists talk about behavior adjustment and how we create new habits. And the best way that we create those new habits is through high focus and a higher level of emotional investment. I like to bring a positive emotional investment to that. So it does require attention. It does require some energy in that direction and a regular thinking about. But what I've found is that when we tie that back to and connect it to a sense of self, it becomes a lot easier. You know, if we're thinking about those concepts more abstract and like, well, this is a vocal sound that I need to produce and it is not connected with me, then it's work. But when I make that connection with it being about how I sense myself, then it's a lot easier to reach for that again and again and again.
Gotcha. Do people always, you know, if you have a bass voice and you want to pass, how do you work with somebody's mindset to get that across? Like your voice is a bass, you're at Tennessee Henry Ford, you're not going to be Mariah Carey.
Oh, well, I mean, there is something about expectations. And, you know, I think you have to look at the container. That's one thing. So again, we look at like the body instrument. You know, if I have a cello, I cannot expect that I'm going to be able to produce music like a violin. It's just a kind of a matter of, you know, the shape and the body of the instrument, but it doesn't mean that we can't affect some of those other qualities that are not pitch related to create more of a sense of that identity alignment.
Okay.
So I have a lot of exercises that go into some deep diving about, you know, personal revelations and the who am I questions that help us guide that journey. But, you know, we can always affect pitch a little bit. But usually we have really wide ranges. The human instrument is capable of such variation. We're just using this little tiny piece of it because that's what we've been told that we're supposed to use. So it's really more about opening up to the full potential of that instrument. And once we do that, then really there's nothing that's going to keep an individual from accessing that voice that is true to who they are.
I love that you talk about the body and the voice that's an instrument and not just like a thing, you know?
Yeah.
That's nice. You had some exercises. You just mentioned you have exercises. Like, let's talk about exercises. Give me an example of like something you do.
Let's do. Okay. So you mentioned a minute ago, you asked about, well, what's the timeline? How soon can people start to feel changes? Mm-hmm. With the way that I usually approach work with an individual, I start with a particular exercise and I'm going to teach that today. It's very simple. For my clients, it does a few things. Number one, it helps to balance their voice. So it helps us to deal with that question of the weight or the equilibrium of the voice. Sometimes we're pressing down a little too much on the voice and we need to kind of lighten it up. It helps with that. It helps with register balance. It helps with energy flow and being able to increase our breath flow. But for people who are not necessarily on this particular journey, most people have probably experienced some time in their life where they've had vocal fatigue. They've been talking a lot. They've been screaming at a concert. They've been singing a lot of karaoke, and they're feeling some vocal strain. Well, this exercise is not only good for, helping to discover more healthy aspects with the voice, but it's actually good for recuperation and for helping to heal a tired or even a damaged voice. So that's what I want to talk with you or share with you today.
Awesome. Let's do it. I want to know.
So this exercise was originally introduced, I believe, back in the 70s. This is not mine, by the way. We beg, borrow, and steal everything. So, I've made my own adaptation to this exercise, but it's called straw phonation. And typically it would be where you just take a straw and you kind of make sound or you sing through the straw. And I'll explain briefly why that works. So it's an exercise that belongs to a group of exercises that involve a semi-occluded vocal tract. And what that means is that we're resisting the ability for air to fly out of the mouth. So when I have this straw, now all of a sudden I don't have the ability to send air out in this mass volume. It's very limited. I can only send so much out. So the energy that is coming up toward the straw can't all escape. So some of that energy comes back and it comes back down toward the vocal fold on top. And what that does is it helps the vocal folds to vibrate more freely. It's called, there's a balancing effect, because now I have this pressure coming, a pulmonic pressure coming from the lungs, and then I have a back pressure coming back down. And so it helps to kind of balance and regulate the vocal folds. It helps to relax them. It's almost like a little vocal fold massage. Uh-huh. So it does wonders on a tired voice. And if you are a person who uses the telephone all day long, or you're at a conference and you're doing tons of speaking, being able to just make some sound through a straw every so often can really keep you on track and keep you healthy and feeling good.
Okay, so you got to show us that.
let's show you. Now, this is my variation. I like to do this with a glass of water and the straw. So notice I've got just a couple of inches of water in the bottom of my glass. Mm-hmm. I've got my straw. It's important to notice that when I'm going to my straw, I'm going to bring the straw to me rather than bring myself to the straw, because we don't want to distort, the vocal tract and that column of air any more than it already is. I'm going to keep this posture nice and open. And all I'm going to do is I'm just going to hum. I'm going to make some sound through the straw. So what I'm going to do is it's going to sound like this. It's going to sound like I'm making some like little hills of pitch glides. So you'll hear it when I do it through the straw. So very simple. I choose a pitch that is nice and comfortable in my range. We're not choosing anything outside of the normal. So it'll sound like this.
And you're doing the all the way, and just sounds coming through your mouth into the straw.
Yeah, that's right. And I just love the water because a couple things. It adds a little bit extra resistance because, we're having to work to overcome that pressure of the water itself. And when you can see the bubbles that are being made, then I can actually see the volume and the flow of my breath. When I'm using just the straw and air, I can't actually see how much energy is in my air. So with the water, I can actually like gauge, where is my energy level and make sure that it's at a nice consistent flow. So that's why I do the water. But yes, those gentle, easy hills. And all you would do is just that exercise for maybe a minute or two.
Some breaths. I know that while you were doing it, it's very meditative too.
Well, there's a whole thing about that. So we won't go on a deep dive here, but there is something about the vagus nerve. And so the vagus nerve, the largest nerve in our body, it's really unrelated to our balancing our nervous system, parasympathetic nervous system. There are branches of the vagus nerve that extend into the larynx. So when we hum and we make sounds like that, we're actually stimulating the vagus nerve, which helps us to achieve a greater sense of balance and peace and calm.
I love that right there.
How crazy is
that? One thing I noticed about your straw, besides being a an earth-friendly metal straw is that it's also bent. Does that make a difference, having a bent straw versus a straight straw? It doesn't matter.
I like it because it's easier to bring the straw to my mouth. If it were straight, I'd have to tilt the glass a little more. It's either way, whatever. Okay. But yes, I do have my my reusable straw because, yeah, you know, that's just what we do.
I gotcha. I've got a whole package of them.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So people find you, you find people, everybody's learning how to be their authentic self and express their identity. I want to learn a little bit more about you personally.
Sure.
Because I want people, I think you're amazing. And I want to play a game with you called This or That. I'm going to give you two choices. You can choose one or the other, but you can't choose neither or both.
Okay. So,
and the questions start out super, super easy. I mean, no harder than like coffee or tea. You know?
Okay. I love this. Great.
Okay. So we'll start easy. They'll get a little bit harder and then a little bit harder and then probably thought provoking at the end. How about that?
Ooh. Okay.
How about coaching group sessions or one-on-one sessions?
One-on-one.
Okay. In-person training or remote coaching?
Remote coaching.
Okay. And you can do that as effectively as in-person training?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are some reasons just to explain why shortly. Working online, there's an additional layer of protection. We learned this during COVID, and we had no idea that it was going to be such a valuable experience in a lot of ways. But if I'm working with someone, particularly a group, if that's happening, you can mute yourself. I can go off camera. I can practice a vocal exercise without being heard or seen, and then come back to share when I'm ready. When I'm face to face with someone, there's no barrier. So there is that added layer of protection that I think is really valuable.
That is super good to know and think about. I love that.
Yeah.
You've also done some acting. How about theater acting or film acting?
Theater.
Voice coaching, or singing or speaking?
Ooh.
For speaking or speaking?
Oh, for speaking.
Yeah, for speaking.
For speech.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Indoor workshops or outdoor workshops?
Indoor.
Okay. We can get a little tougher. How about traditional voice training methods or innovative experimental techniques?
Innovative.
Yeah.
100%.
Have you developed any that you've called the Barnett method yet?
I think this whole, like, the holistic approach thing is really my bag. That's what I'm realizing the gold is. It's all about that connection with self. So yeah, I don't, and I'm sure there probably are some other people out there doing it that way, but I don't know. This all came out of my own feeling and sensibilities. So I think that's, that's something I'll hold on to.
We'll put it into your next book.
Okay.
How about short-term intensive coaching or long-term gradual coaching?
Short-term intensive.
Okay. Teaching beginners or advanced?
Beginners.
Okay. Using existing speech models for training or creating new ones from scratch?
If I have to choose, creating from scratch.
Yeah. We've got the Barnett method that's coming up soon. So let's get a little harder. How about prioritizing physical vocal techniques or psychological confidence building? Confidence building.
Psychological confidence building.
Yeah. Why?
Because if you don't have that, then you can't achieve the other.
Okay. How about voice coaching for public speaking or for personal communication?
Personal communication.
Mm-hmm. Catering primarily, you do primarily cater to LGBT community. Mm-hmm. And do you ever look at expanding your services, or is that your focus?
That's my focus.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll always be that way.
Do you primarily choose to work with local, or do you prefer a wider global audience?
I work with a global audience, and the working remotely certainly lends to that. I have one client that's here in my community, but everybody else is, you know, West Coast to the UK. So it's kind of all over the place.
Okay. That was just another question in general. You work with people who are in different countries, and how does that affect, you know, if they've got their own accents, their own way of speaking, how do you do that?
It's that is interesting. And it does bring in, there's just other variables there because, you know, dialects have, you know, their own signature. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm very much a proponent of, you know, everyone's dialect accent is beautiful and perfect as it is. A lot of people have a strong sense of, oh, I hate the way I sound. I hate my accent. And I'm very much in the camp of trying to move away from that. I never look at it from the sense of, I don't want to change your accent or your dialect, but there are a couple things that maybe we could soften, or we could just turn the dial on just a little to get more of the effect that you're looking for in terms of more masculine versus feminine sound, and yeah, still keep your cultural identity.
I think accents and dialects are incredible. I did not know forever that Tom Holland was not American.
Right.
I did not know that Nicole Kidman was Australian. Like, you're making that up. So you work with people with dialects also, right?
I do. That's been part of my, I'm not doing as much of that currently because I've really shifted my focus to this work, but in the past 10 years, that was something I was really focusing on, was working with actors, working with theaters, coaching productions that required sounds of people who live elsewhere, and okay, being authentic and making sure that we're connecting with the human behind that manner of speaking.
Okay. Let's go back to another this or that question.
Okay.
These are more thought-provoking. How about working with existing societal gender norms or challenging and reshaping these norms?
Challenging and reshaping.
Excellent. Where are we right now?
Oh, I don't know. I think that I believe there's progress. I believe that there's greater visibility, there's greater representation, but along with that has come a strong degree of pushback. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably how all battles are fought. But I believe that we're on the way, and eventually there is simply no denying that we do not exist in the binary.
Okay. Okay.
I think we're getting there.
Good. I think you've touched on this before, and I just want to get the this or that answer to this, but emphasizing voice passing or promoting unique voice identities.
Yeah, unique voice identities.
Yeah.
Okay. And if passing is important to you, then that is something we consider. But if it is not, then we don't need to. It's all about you.
So. Okay. So how about this one? How about prioritizing a client's comfort and ease in sessions, or pushing them outside of their comfort zones for growth?
Oh, gosh. I tend to fall in comfort and ease. I also tend to be in the, let's approach this from a place of play. It should mm-hmm. be fun. It should be something that we are curious about and we're excited about experimenting with. We become little scientists. And I also tend to be a big squishy on the inside. And so I really want people to feel good about themselves, and I want them to feel safe, and I want them to feel affirmed. So yeah, I have to say, if I got to choose one, then I'm always going to fall onto the, I'm your cheerleader.
I like your word squishy. You know,
squishy.
So in that case, let me ask you one last question, then you can expound upon this. So okay. Maintaining a clear boundary between professional coaching and personal mentorship, or blurring mm-hmm. these lines for holistic support?
Oh, I think I'm going to say that sometimes the lines get blurred for holistic support.
Mm-hmm.
But I think within that, boundaries have to be clear. But I, you know, the way that the sessions unfold a lot of times is that, you know, I am not a psychotherapist. I am not. That's the first thing that I'll say to people. But the nature of our conversation, when talking about how your voice has been shaped the way that it has been, takes us to some pretty personal things sometimes. And So, you know, my being a voice coach does kind of blur over into, am I a little bit of a life coach? Am I a little bit of a, you know, a counselor? I mean, I would never describe myself that way, but I do think that the conversation is bigger, as we've already talked about, than just this.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And being I think most of my clients do end up kind of becoming like friends. Like, these are people that I love. I love them. And I don't want that relationship to end. So when it's over, it's like, yeah, I still want to check in with you. I still want to see how you're doing.
That's awesome. How many sessions do people usually either book with you, or is it like, you know, weekly, monthly, all the time? What's the deal?
So I've recently introduced a few different ways to engage in this, because I want to make this work more accessible. It can really be exclusionary, depending on where your resources are. So I've really tried to come up with some ways that I can have something for everybody. Typically, I try to work on a 10 to 12 week plan, mm-hmm. because I believe that massive change can happen in that amount of time. In fact, a lot of my clients are seeing, particularly with this exercise, they see a big light bulb comes on between 2 and 4 weeks.
Okay. Awesome.
So it can happen quickly. Now, there are some things that take more time, and the voice continues to evolve and grow even after we finish. But yeah, 10 to 12 weeks is that's my sweet spot.
Excellent. Well, let's make sure people can get in touch with you, right? So you've got your website, metamorphosisvoice.com. Yep. And that, I think that's probably the best place for people to find you, right?
Actually, the best place probably is on my Instagram. That's where I'm most present. That's where you can really engage with me. I love to have people reach out through messaging, through IG. It's just kind of like my primary platform. So that's really you can see a lot of my content and get a lot of tips and, you know, some good free tricks there too.
And for people who are just listening and not watching, the Instagram address is at Miranda Barnett, B-A-R-N-E-T-T 360. And you can reach out there and follow along. And you've also got your email, which is Miranda@metamorphosisvoice.com. And your consultations are complimentary, which is awesome.
Absolutely.
I'm going to leave the Instagram on the screen, Miranda Barnett 360, so that people can watch it as we bounce out of here. I have loved our conversation today.
Me too. And
I'm going to call you up. We're going to do some voice training with Mike. There we go.
Let's do it. Get you back to karaoke.
Exactly. I'm going to scream my Living on a Prayer again. Yes. All right, everybody. Thank you for showing up. Thank you, Miranda. And we'll see everybody next time.
Thank you so much.